We want to continue the conversation about what's happening in Japan with the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plants there. And joining us all hour long is Robert Hernon, author of This Borrowed Earth, Lessons from the 15 Worst Environmental Disasters Around the World. Robert, I wanted to put you a couple comments from our listeners and have you respond to them. We got a comment from Catherine in Brooklyn, and she says, Indian Point, the plant there, puts the NYC metro area at risk. Should there be an emergency, we won't be able to physically evacuate the city or Long Island. We're sitting ducks. Beyond that, there is no such thing as clean nuclear energy. Is she right to be concerned?
Yes. Yeah, especially those of us who are living in New York City. I lived in Philadelphia during the time of Three Mile Island, and I tell you, we were glued to weather reports coming from Harrisburg, about a couple hours west of us. So I think locating nuclear facilities in the middle of very dense residential populations is very, very risky proposition.
And there's three dozen or so nuclear plants in the Northeast serving the facility. I mean, the state of New York, New England, very much relying on nuclear power. And are the design of these plants similar, if not identical, to the 70s-era Fukushima water pressurized water plants, water plants?
I think they vary depending on where they were built. Three Mile Island was kind of a similar design as the Fukushima, but other ones vary. I'm not sure what some of the others were.
Well, Jerry in Charlotte, North Carolina, says he lives very close to a reactor, but he's not concerned because there haven't been any major natural disasters in his area for years. So he's saying everything's okay because they're not going to have a natural disaster like they did in Japan.
Well, there's one of the things I was going to come to when the Georgia mayor was on is that, you know, it's not a natural disaster alone that causes the problems. I mean, we're talking about a loss of electricity. That's what caused this sequence of events that took place. Electricity can get lost for all sorts of reasons: hurricanes, tornadoes, flooding, lightning. I mean, here in the Northeast, what was it, 5 or 10 years ago, we all lost electricity in the whole Northeast from a grid problem in Canada.
It's a terrifying irony that an electric power plant loses electricity. That shuts
down
the cooling system.
Which meant they didn't have the generator, and then they didn't have the generators running to shut down the cool system. One more comment from one of our listeners, and this is yet another person in the New York area. David in Manhattan, over our website at thetakeaway.org, says, I live in New York City, near enough or downwind of many nuclear plants. I'm concerned because, unlike other nuclear materials toxicity doesn't simply dilute away over time. A release of nuclear material is necessarily a disaster. That seems like he's saying it's already a disaster in Japan, regardless of what happens with these plants.
I think it depends on the level of radioactive materials that are released. I mean, we know in Chernobyl there was a 18-mile radius around the plant, which is dead zone forever because of the fallout nearest to the plant.
And that's particulate fallout. Yeah. That's actual
heavy
of stuff.
That's right. That's solid stuff.
Gamma radiation, which is what they're measuring in the Japan, right?
Yes, and those traveled for thousands of miles with less risk involved in it.
Robert Hernon is the author of This Borrowed Earth, Lessons from the 15 Worst Environmental Disasters Around the World. Hopefully we won't have to be updating that book after this. He's going to be with us all hour long, but we want to put this call out again to our listeners. Give us a call if you have questions about what's happening, or do you live near one of the 104 nuclear reactors in the United States? Head over to thetakeaway.org. There's going to be a complete reactor of all the complete map of all the reactors in the U.S.
And I learned something from Andrew Kadak of MIT in the last segment, that it's all the same radiation coming from the spent fuel rods and the exposed core. It's all the same kind of radiation.
Exactly.
Gamma radiation coming from particulates. If the particulates spread, it's a different kind of environmental problem. Helping to clarify here. We're going to leave you now with a voice from the middle of the other devastation in Japan. Earlier this morning, we reached by satellite phone Battalion Chief Chris Schaff from the U.S. Rescue Team Virginia Task Force 1 from Fairfax County, Virginia Fire and Rescue. He and his team were dropped into the northern coastal town of Ofunato in the middle of the tsunami disaster to find most of it washed away.
Ofunato was obviously hit very hard from the tsunami, more so than it appeared from the earthquake. We spent most of this morning and continuing efforts this afternoon searching and rescuing and trying to identify structures that could potentially hold live victims. The debris has washed in the houses that have literally been picked up and moved, as well as the boats that have been picked up and moved from the coastline up into the town itself. It's just enormous. So it's just been a huge task trying to get through those structures to look for people.
So, Chris, from your satellite phone there, close to the devastation, have you ever seen anything like this?
No, this is the first time I've ever seen anything of this magnitude. The amount of power that this water has to actually pick things up and just move them at random like that, it's kind of hard to comprehend the things we've seen move by that water.
And what's it like being in the middle of the devastation where everywhere around you things have been just leveled?
You really have to take it in kind of bits and pieces. Otherwise, I think it would be overwhelming for you. The rescuers and the teams that are out working are gridded off with certain areas that they have to search. It takes them a couple hours to clear that grid. We did have another large aftershock today that caused us some concern while we were working. So it is a little bit of a concern, the area that we're working in, but the people that are here with us are taking good care of us, and the teams that are here working with us are trained really well.
So we're talking with Battalion Chief Chris Schaff from Virginia, who's one of the rescue workers, part of the team there from the United States, helping the Japanese out. Before we go, Chris Schaff, have you found anyone alive?
Not yet. We've only been into our search for about 7 hours, so we're hoping to continue our search through the night and into tomorrow and hopefully be able to come up with some live victims and be able to help some people out. And if not, finding somebody that did pass away also helps bring closure to some of the families here that have been looking for their loved one.
Chris Schaff, it's admirable what you're doing. I can really feel the sense of challenge ahead, and good luck to you, sir.
All right, thank you.
A 7-hour search. They found no one alive. Battalion Chief Chris Schaff from the U.S. Rescue Team, Virginia Task Force 1 from Fairfax County, Virginia. He's in the coastal Japanese city of Ofunato, where officially 206 are dead, 191 missing from Friday's tsunami.